Hello everyone, I'm Nathan, and welcome to this week's edition of the Black Country Talking News for the 10th of July 2024.
Hello, and welcome to the Black Country Talking News, brought to you by the sight loss charity Beacon. We're pleased to confirm that the Talking News is now available via Alexa. Once you've enabled the Talking Newspapers skill, all you need to do is play Talking Newspapers and ask for the Black Country Talking News. Our Talking News service is also available via the free Wireless for the Blind app. It can be found on the Beacon Centre website, www.beaconvision.org/talking-news. As a podcast via services such as Apple or Spotify, or as a free CD, simply contact Beacon Centre on 01902 880 111. We hope you enjoy this week's edition.
Reading for you this week, we have myself, Nathan, Christine, Angela, Helen, Mina, Simon, and Soundings contributor, Roger Brooks. In this week's edition, we have the latest Beacon update from Helen. We have a quiz with Soundings recorder Roger Brooks. We have the latest news for the Black Country. We hear from Mina, who has the latest weather forecast for the week ahead.
And it sure is rather unseasonal weather at the moment, but there's still plenty to get done outside. So we have our latest gardening update from our gardening experts at MK Pulse magazine.
Local news to start though with Christine, but first, Angela.
Have you heard of sight loss councils, also known as SLCs? Funded by the national charity Thomas Pocklington Trust, SLCs are regional groups led by blind and partially sighted volunteers. Together, SLCs use lived experience to tackle the issues that really matter to blind and partially sighted people in regions across the UK. And last week, the Thomas Pocklington Trust were pleased to announce the launch of the latest sight loss council in Staffordshire. So, what do the sight loss councils do? As mentioned, sight loss councils are led by blind and partially sighted members. Each SLC looks to tackle local issues and work collaboratively with businesses and service providers to improve the accessibility of their services. The number of SLCs across England is currently expanding to give people who are blind or partially sighted the best opportunity to influence positive change and improve services at a national and local level. Each sight loss council aims to make a difference by representing the voice of blind and partially sighted people in the key areas of health and well-being, inclusive communities, and employment and skills. So, if you have a particular interest in any of these areas, the Thomas Pocklington Trust would love to hear from you. Examples of sight loss council's work include providing GP surgeries with visual awareness training, working with bus and coach companies to introduce new audio-visual announcements, providing accessibility feedback on healthcare apps, running accessibility workshops with high street retailers such as Apple Store. You may be wondering, what exactly does a sight loss council member do? Well, each member becomes an advocate and makes a real difference, from working with policymakers and local service providers to improving access for blind and partially sighted people in their local community. Members also have an opportunity to meet and work with other blind and partially sighted people in their area. Duties may include putting forward local issues affecting both the local and wider community at sight loss council meetings, i.e. inaccessible transport or street clutter, or taking part in accessibility testing sessions, forums, seminars, and contributing to public consultations. You may also receive relevant training and the opportunity to learn and/or enhance your skills. Want to find out more? If you're passionate about making positive change, have lived experience of sight loss and live or work in Staffordshire, then the Thomas Pocklington Trust have provided the following information. If you would like further information, please go to www.sightlosscouncils.org.uk/join-us. To apply to become a volunteer member of the Staffordshire SLC, please follow the link pocklington.tfaforms.net/484-3521. And if you have any questions regarding the role, please contact Lou Connop on 07980 903 253 or Ashley Bryant on 07580 445 847.
From Staffordshire to Dudley, where Dudley Building Society has launched a new community-focused account. The Dudley Branch Access Account aims to provide immediate financial support to customers of the recently closed Castle and Crystal Credit Union, which was placed into administration on May 21st and has since ceased trading. We are deeply committed to supporting our local community, especially during times of financial uncertainty, said Simon Dodd, head of retail at Dudley Building Society. The closure of Castle and Crystal Credit Union has left many customers in a precarious situation. Our new Dudley Branch Access account is specifically tailored to offer immediate and accessible financial services, helping to stabilise and support those who need it most in our community. Our friendly branch staff are on hand to help interested customers with their application and answer any questions. The Dudley Branch Access Account is exclusive to the Dudley Branch, ensuring that local customers receive tailored, in-person service and support. With a low minimum opening balance of just £1, it is highly accessible to everyone, regardless of their financial situation. Additionally, the account offers flexibility with no restrictions on withdrawals, allowing customers full access to their funds whenever needed.
And from Staffordshire to Dudley and right across six of our region's counties, the Midlands Air Ambulance, MAA, is one of the busiest in the UK, responding to over 75,000 missions since 1991. However, last week, the charity, which does not receive any funding from the government or National Lottery, said its helicopters responded to two emergencies in one day, which turned out to be hoaxes. The dispatches wasted around £6,000, as well as putting lives at risk across the region, the service said. The unnecessary call-outs were last Monday in Stoke-on-Trent and Birmingham. The charity said it was urging people to think how their actions might affect others before calling upon the service. The first hoax was in the morning to an alleged assault at a commercial property in Stoke-on-Trent. The second was during the evening to a report of a collision at a house in King's Standing. Paramedic Sarah Foley, who provides critical pre-hospital care, was on both missions and said it was extremely saddening. We want to make sure those making these calls are aware of the dangers that providing false and malicious information to emergency services can pose to the public, she said. Hoax calls were thankfully quite rare, the charity said, with fewer than 10 a year, so having two in one day was extremely rare and quite strange. The charity's crew serve a population of around 6 million people across Gloucestershire, Herefordshire, Shropshire, Staffordshire, Worcestershire, Birmingham, the Black Country and the surrounding areas. Ian Jones, Clinical Operations Director for MAA Charity, said that their daily missions were funded by generous donations from the public. To see that money go to waste as crews attend a scene that does not have a patient after being provided with false information is disheartening, he said. The charity said it attended an average of 4,300 missions a year, with each one costing around £2,950. That is money, fuel and time, resources which should be used on patients in critical need who actually need our advanced medical help, Mr. Jones added. Up next we hear from Helen, who as usual has our latest Beacon update.
Hi everyone, it's Helen from Beacon and welcome to yet another weekly update, Where Do the Weeks Go? And this week we would like to start by saying a big thank you to the customers, hardworking staff and trustees of the Pensnet Social Welfare Club for their generous donation to Beacon following the club's closure. While we are incredibly saddened to hear the club is no longer operating, we truly appreciate it being one of the charities receiving their support. This donation will help people across the area to live well with sight loss, and we thank them for making a difference to our community. Now, are you ready to join us for an exciting July at Beacon? Well, we have a variety of activities, including tandem rides, movement classes, book club circuit, swimming, long walk, pop-up cinema, 10-pin bowling, fishing, and even special events like an author Q&A and a trip to the Hollybush Garden Centre. What a month, eh? Well, if you'd like to get involved, why not give us a call on 01902 880 111 to book your place. And in other exciting news, we've made some fabulous progress at our new Nature Hub accessible community garden. Our amazing volunteers have built three large planters and our members will be helping to fill them with beautiful plants in the coming weeks. Once complete, we will add audio QR codes so that everyone can learn about the flowers in each planter. Now, do you have any unneeded low vision aids or adaptions? Well, why not donate them to the Beacon Centre's Low Vision Hub? Your generous donation can make a huge difference in the lives of those with sight loss. If you have items like magnifiers, talking clocks, or other adaptive tools, we can help give them a new home. Get in touch with us on 01902 880 111 or email inquiries at beaconvision.org to arrange your donation. You can also pop in to see us. We'd love to thank you in person. Now, last this week, the RNIB has issued a safety recall notice for the wireless charging pad supplied with their Accord DH472 USB player. Full details can be found online at www.tnf.org.uk. If you have one of these players, please follow instructions provided on that link by RNIB. That's it for this week. I'll be back again with another update soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for that update, Helen. Next up, we have another block of local news. And up first, we hear from Christine.
Mixed in with the flags flying high supporting the England football team, you may also find another red, black and white one fluttering around in the wind, the Black Country flag. The Black Country flag is a community flag proclaiming the unique identity of our region. The colours of red, black and white recall American author Elihu Burritt's famous description of the Black Country. Burritt, 1810 to 79, wrote that it was black by day and red by night, owing to the smoke and fires of industry. The central white triangle recalls the iconic glass cones and iron furnaces that once peppered our local landscape, with the design also featuring a chain to represent our manufacturing heritage. And thousands across the region are currently waving their Black Country flags as they proudly prepare to celebrate Black Country Day's 11th birthday. The Black Country Festival is a collection of fun events held across the region in the lead up to Black Country Day itself this Sunday, July 14th. Over a decade after the first Black Country Day celebrations took place, thousands of residents are excitedly taking part in fantastic events and activities to help celebrate the region in the lead up to the big day. The first Black Country Day celebrations took place on March 30, 2013, with the date later changing to July 14th to coincide with the anniversary of the invention of the world's first successful steam engine, the Newcomen engine, in 1712 at the Conagree Coal Works near Dudley. While the day has only been celebrated in the Black Country for a relatively short amount of time, it is already a well-established part of the Black Country calendar, with thousands of residents looking forward to the events, festivals and concerts taking place. To help celebrate the occasion, the Express and Star have created a quintessential guide to help you make the most of the Boston Black Country's own fortnight of celebration.
What is the Black Country Festival? In 2014, the Black Country was brought to life through a unified festival that was created by the four boroughs of Dudley, Walsall, Wolverhampton and Sandwell to celebrate the region's historical importance. The first of its kind event was created to celebrate the Black Country's cultural heritage and national importance, marking the beginning of an annual tradition designed to remember everything great about our area. What exactly is taking place? With events starting last week, dozens of events have been planned around the region, so to help make it easy, we have a comprehensive list of all the official events yet to take place around the Black Country. Hales Owen Cricket Club Beer Festival, Seth Summers Park, Grange Rose, Hales Owen, on July the 12th. Visit Hales Owen and try plenty of locally brewed craft ales and beers, or sate your palate with one of the many food trucks available. Dudley Grand Prix, Dudley Town Centre, July the 12th. Enjoy an evening of exhilarating cycling racing as riders take to the twisty and windy circuits of Dudley Town Centre. Watch as the very best of British cycling chase the gold medal in this amazing race. Hales Owen Black Country Festival Fun Day, Summer Square, Hales Owen, July the 13th. Visit dozens of market stalls, have your face painted in the Black Country flag colours and watch amazing street entertainers as you help celebrate the amazing Black Country. Sandwell Black Country Festival Fun Day, Sandwell Valley Park, Sandwell, July the 14th. Take part in an amazing range of events at Sandwell Valley Park as you celebrate the most important day in the Black Country calendar. Classic and Retro Car Show and Family Fun Day, Walsall Arboretum, Walsall, July the 14th. See dozens of classic vehicles ranging from cars to motorcycles, or enjoy shopping at dozens of local stores and food vendors as you celebrate the very best of the Black Country. Black Country Music On Festival, Himley Hall, Himley, July the 14th. Enjoy amazing tribute acts and stand-up comedians as you enjoy Black Country Day, or visit one of the many food and drink stalls available on the day. Acts include the Symphonic Rock Orchestra, Foo Fighters GB and Oasis Faker Maker. For more information on these events and for a full list of all the Black Country Day's events taking place around the region, visit the Black Country Festival website. Now it's time to test your knowledge, as we have the quiz questions for this edition. Take it away, Roger.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, pet lovers. It's Roger Brooks here with a quiz about animals. 10 questions, so off we go. Question 1. What's a group of giraffes called? A collective noun for a group of giraffes. Question 2. What's a baby koala bear known as? Baby koala is known in Australia as a... Question 3. Fictional animal this time. Cartoon character Yogi Bear had a close friend. What was the name of his close friend? Question 4. The evil Bill Sykes in Oliver Twist had a dog that went everywhere with him. What was the name of that dog? As in, and names of animals were still on that. And question 5, with what was the name of Wellington's horse, the Duke of Wellington? Had a horse given to him to mark something. What was it called? And still on horses, what was the name of Roy Rogers' horse? Roy Rogers' horse. Question 7. What was the name of the Lone Ranger's horse? The Lone Ranger with his buddy Tonto. Okay. Question 8. What are Dutch drays, Irish drays, and Clydesdale all versions of or types of? Dutch, dray, Irish, draft or dray, and Clydesdale. Question 9. Can you name all 9 reindeer in the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Not an easy one. We'll pause for some thought there, or you pause your listening while you go through them all. 3 of them started with the initial D, D for Donald, and Donald wasn't one of them. And question 10. What was the cartoon character created by Alfred Bestel and featured for years in the Daily Express? Cartoon character created by Alfred Bestel. That's our 10 animal questions.
TNS Soundings.
Cheers for those questions, Roger. I'll get my mind working on them. Up now, however, is another block of local news.
Now, how much do you like your chocolate? The history of chocolate began with the Maya, who were probably the first people in South America to cultivate the cocoa plant. For the Maya, chocolate was a cocoa drink prepared with hot water and often flavoured with cinnamon and pepper. It was called the food of the gods and was presented at the table of Emperor Moctezuma II by the Aztecs. In 1502, Christopher Columbus was the first European to encounter cocoa. He captured a canoe that contained cocoa beans, which were considered mysterious-looking almonds, and identified as a form of currency in Mesoamerica. Cocoa appeared in Europe in 1528, when the Spanish conquistador Hernán Cortés brought samples of cocoa to King Charles of Spain, spreading the great effects of the beverage prepared from this brown gold. The characteristics of chocolate were long ignored in Europe owing to difficulties with an environment unfavourable to its growth. Thankfully, 200 years ago, in 1824, John Cadbury opened a grocer's shop just outside the Black Country in Bull Street, Birmingham. Amongst groceries, he sold cocoa and drinking chocolate, which he prepared himself using a mortar and pestle, and it became very popular. By the mid-19th century, cocoa, at that time, was made with lots of cocoa butter. The butter had such a horrible taste that starches were added to disguise its taste and texture. Then John's sons, Richard and George Cadbury, who were now running the company due to John's ill health, heard about an innovative cocoa press being used by Dutch manufacturer Van Houten. The press squeezed out so much cocoa butter from the beans, they didn't need to add any starches. By using the cocoa press, George and Richard found they were able to make their cocoa 100% pure. It's hard to believe, but other chocolate makers were bulking out their cocoa with animal fat, red lead, and even brick dust. Instead, the brothers concentrated on making totally unadulterated cocoa, and in 1866 they launched Cadbury Cocoa Essence, advertised as absolutely pure, therefore best. And with a vision for a new kind of factory, a place full of green spaces where Cadbury workers could leave the crowded, dirty city behind and enjoy a better quality of life, Bourneville was born in 1879. Nearly 150 years on, and the historic site is thriving, so much so it is now offering opportunities for what has often been described as the dream job. Isn't that so, Angela? Angela? Are you still here? Angela? In the excitement of it all, I think Angela may well be putting together her CV as we speak.
Oh, sorry, everyone. All this captivating talk about chocolate, I couldn't help but be tempted by some irresistible indulgence. Yes, Christine, that's correct. Mondelez International, the current owners of Cadbury, are recruiting for the dream job and 48 sensory panellists at its historic Bourneville site in Birmingham. The part-time roles, also known as chocolate tasters, will play a crucial role in product development by tasting and providing consistent, objective and honest feedback on new chocolate products, including iconic brands such as Cadbury, Toblerone and Milka. Successful applicants will bring a passion for food, a desire to try new and inventive products, as well as a communicative personality to collaborate with other panellists. Full training is provided, including helping successful applicants to develop their taste buds and learn the specific vocabulary required to communicate feedback. The sensory panellist roles are part of ongoing investment being made at the Bourneville site, the home of Cadbury, with the brand celebrating its 200th anniversary year. The roles, which were previously located at the Reading Scientific Services site in Wokingham, will now be based out of Mondelez's Global Centre of Excellence for Chocolate Research and Development at Bourneville. Afshash Chugtai, Section Manager in the Consumer Science Team at Mondelez International, said, "We are hugely excited to be recruiting to join our amazing research and development team in Bourneville. The tasters will play an invaluable role in helping to develop the perfect taste profile of our amazing products. Previously, our sensory panellists have helped develop consumer favourites, including Caramilk and Toblerone Truffles," Afshar added. "We currently have around 600 employees working in a variety of research and development roles in the UK and are looking forward to welcoming our newly trained chocolate tasters to the team. They will enable us to continue to innovate and lead the future of snacking." The roles will play an important role in Mondelez International's commitment to world-class innovation, ensuring it continues to adapt to changing consumer trends and delivering choice for consumers. Recently, it has continued to enhance its health and well-being portfolio. In 2023, it launched Cadbury Delights, a new range of confectionery under 100 calories per bar. And in April this year, it launched Cadbury Brunch Light, a new non-high in fat, salt and sugar range of Cadbury Brunch Bars, with each bar containing less than 100 calories. Another well-established grocery store, Tesco, has also been in the news for its highly acclaimed recruitment process and commitment to inclusive employment for individuals from underrepresented groups. Here's Soundings contributors Heather and Alistair explaining why Tesco has recently been voted RNIB's Employer of the Year 2024.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Alastair Hutton with an article written by Heather. Supermarket chain Tesco has won the 2024 Employer of the Year Award from the RNIB for its work in recruiting and supporting visually impaired workers. The supermarket came top in the employer category in this year's annual RNIB See Differently Awards, which recognise and celebrate outstanding work in supporting people with sight loss. The win recognises the chain's success as an inclusive employer. The award is given to organisations which have shown commitment to providing an accessible and inclusive workplace for blind and partially sighted employees. As winners, Tesco demonstrated its credentials in three key areas. Firstly, that it makes significant efforts to ensure its recruitment process is fully accessible. Secondly, that it supports new and existing workers with sight loss. And thirdly, that it's committed to raising awareness of visual impairments among sighted employees. This year's win builds on Tesco's success 2 years ago when it achieved the RNIB's Visibly Better Employer Quality Standard. Since achieving this quality standard in 2022, there's been an increase in the number of blind and partially sighted employees working for Tesco. To help visually impaired employees thrive in their roles, Tesco provides specialist equipment, such as tablets and tactile aids, according to the individual's needs. And in some cases, this use of tactile aids is now spreading nationwide. For example, tactile aids have now been introduced across all Tesco bakery departments after the idea was initially introduced to support a colleague who works in one in-store bakery. Tesco has a disability network to help sighted staff understand the experience of colleagues with sight loss, and it has created a diverse talent community to help blind and partially sighted employees own their own careers. Managers at Tesco receive specific training to support anyone in their team who is visually impaired. And the next step for Tesco in extending its commitment to inclusivity is to explore how the business can improve the accessibility of internal communications. In announcing the Employer of the Year award, David Clark, chief executive of the British Paralympic Association, said Tesco are really embracing the changes they need to make right across their business for blind and partially sighted people already in their business, and then also to attract more blind and partially sighted people to their business. And that is not only about making the processes and recruitment channels accessible, but it's also about educating their wider employee networks around disability and sight loss specifically. After winning, Tesco's diversity and inclusion manager, Henry Gosling, said he was grateful to accept the award on behalf of his hundreds and thousands of colleagues. "It's truly a team effort," he added. The RNIB See Differently Awards are sponsored by the People's Postcode Lottery.
TNS Soundings.
Up now is another Beacon update.
TNS Soundings. Features from across the UK.
RNIB have issued an urgent recall notice asking anyone with an RNIB Accord player to stop using the wireless charging pad supplied with the player. Unfortunately, a fault has been discovered with the player's flat, disc-shaped wireless charging pad, and this means the charging pads could overheat in some cases and cause a fire. The RNIB Accord is an audio player launched by RNIB in 2023. It's become a popular choice for visually impaired people who often use it to listen to talking newspapers or audio books that are provided on USB sticks. To find out if your speaker is affected by the recall, check for the RNIB product code DH472 or ask someone to help you do this. The Accord is a black cylinder-shaped speaker with white cross shape on the front. White on-off buttons and ports for headphones, a USB stick, and a charger. The wireless charging pad supplied with the Accord is a flat disc with a clear outer and a red and black inner. The inner part contains the words Fantasy Wireless Charger and Wireless and Limitless in the center. RNIB is telling customers to stop using the wireless charging pads immediately. The Accord players themselves are still safe to use, but only if you can charge them using the USB port on the top of the speaker. This port allows you to connect the speaker to a power supply directly without the need to use the wireless charging base. RNIB will be sending out replacement wireless charging pads to anyone who has bought the Accord player as soon as possible. They'll also send a stamped addressed envelope so that the original charging pad can be returned. RNIB stress the importance of returning the faulty charging pads to make sure that they're not used by mistake and put anyone at risk. If you have any queries, you can contact RNIB direct by phone on 01733 375 153 or by sending an email to kaorders@rnib.org.uk.
TNS Soundings.
Up next, let's have another block of local news.
A national trade body is advising Black Country residents to be cautious of giant hogweed, an invasive weed that can cause severe blisters and burns when making contact with the skin. Introduced to the British Isles as an ornamental plant in the 19th century, giant hogweed has built itself a fearsome reputation, and for good reasons. This enormous member of the Umbellifer family contains furocormorine, which, even after minimal contact, can cause the skin to react strongly to sunlight, leaving severe discomfort, blistering and burns. The Property Care Association, PCA, is sounding caution as the sap of the invasive non-native weed is extremely toxic, making it a danger to public health, a concern for residents across the region in the coming months. With two wet springs this year and in 2023, experts at the PCA say weather patterns are creating an opportunity for the plant to thrive and gain ground across the UK. Daniel Docking, technical manager of the PCA's Invasive Weed Control Group, says making people aware of its presence and the health implications associated with exposure to it are key to creating a safer environment. He said, too often there are reports of people who have been injured after inadvertently coming into contact with giant hogweed. Children are particularly vulnerable as they can encounter the plant while playing outdoors in the summer. We reported last year that the wet weather was providing an optimum environment for the invasive non-native weed to thrive, and a repeat of those conditions this year means that plants will take hold once again. That means there is more chance of people being exposed to it. Anyone unfortunate enough to come into contact with giant hogweed can develop symptoms including a rash, itching and blisters where skin touches any part of the plant. In some cases, people need urgent medical attention because the blistering can be so severe. There can be longer-term complications too, as the condition can reoccur over a period of years with the rash and the itching coming back every time the skin is exposed to UV light. Luckily, the PCA has released an identification guide to help the public recognise giant hogweed and avoid nasty burns and blisters. Let's head over to Christine, who can tell us more.
Thanks, Angela. So, the PCA identification guide includes height. The standout feature of giant hogweed is its sheer size. The plant can grow up to 5 metres high and has a stem that measures up to 10 centimetres in diameter. Flowers. The plant produces a large white umbrella-shaped flowering head with a single umbel capable of producing 50,000 seeds per head. Leaves. Giant hogweed has sharply serrated or divided leaves which reach up to 3 metres. Markings. Giant hogweed's stem is usually covered in blotchy purple markings. Sharp bristles can also be found on the stem and under the leaves. And once upon a time, identifying a plant involved trawling through books or posting an envelope of leaves to the Royal Horticultural Society. Then it evolved into lengthy internet searching. But now, apps for mobile phones and other devices promise to identify your mystery plant by way of a mere photograph. Simply take or load an image, and as if by magic, the plant's name flashes up on the screen, or with adjustments to the device's accessibility settings, the name is given via voiceover and by an audio cue. Such free and of little faff examples are Google Lens and PlantNet. Daniel from the Property Care Association, PCA, added, "Giant hogweed has distinctive features which should help people to recognise it, although we urge the public not to get too close to the plant to identify it. The plant can sometimes be confused with the UK's native hogweed, cow's parsley, or even hemlock, all of which are much smaller in size and have leaves with a smoother outline. The PCA provides a means of identifying specialist contractors and consultants with the expertise to control and manage invasive species, such as giant hogweed, as well as other invasive, non-native plants, including Japanese knotweed. A full list of companies in the Invasive Weed Control Group is available in the Find a Specialist section on its website and more details on invasive weeds in general are available via its website. A spokesperson for the PCA said, part of the PCA's Invasive Weed Control Group's remit is the development of best practice standards and collaboration with other professionals, including surveyors, ecologists, local authorities, and government departments, to build a safer environment for all. Central to this is the trade body's International Invasive Weed Conference, which takes place on November 28th at the University of Warwick.
Want to know how to get ahead in the garden this coming season? Here's some tips from the experts at MK Pulse magazine.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Hello, this is Jan with some seasonal tips and ideas from the gardening expert at the MK Pulse magazine, based in Milton Keynes. A blooming great show. Following months of digging, planting, potting and planning, the fruits of all those gardening labours are paying off. And if your garden is anything like the large allotment space being worked by Jean Cocker, you'll be reaping the rewards with a colourful show to lift the spirits. There are lots of flowers blooming just now, she told Pulse. There are so many to enjoy. Lobelias, pansies, petunias, mallows, foxgloves, hollyhocks, marigolds, stocks and aubrietia are leading the way. Jean is a slave to her open space and is often out early enough to enjoy the birdsong and see those flowers awakening from their slumber and turning towards the sun. A member of Conyborough's Larkspur Avenue, Jean has transformed her patch from an overgrown plot into a welcoming, cheery space to lift the mood. And the scent in the evening is gorgeous, she promises. Gardening novices might look at Jean's efforts and be overwhelmed, but she says that you should start small and don't be fazed when things go wrong, as some inevitably will. It's all a learning curve. And just like those stems that are the objects of desire, as your knowledge grows, so too will they. Mallows are always easy to grow, Jean promises. The seeds soon germinate and they also self-seed. My personal favourites are foxgloves, and I have lots of those on the allotment. If you want to garden, but really feel at a loss, start by planting some flowers in pots, which makes gardening very easy. And even a little window box with lots of colours can make a big difference. The satisfaction of being able to sit back and say, I did that, is quite something, and of course you'll be bitten by the bug. Speaking of garden irritators, you'll need to work to bug-proof your seedlings and plants as much as possible. But no matter how good you are, you should expect some casualties. Marigolds provide a perfectly bright pop of orange and yellow, with their carnation-like flower heads also standing strong against incredibly hot temperatures. Planting close to tomatoes, especially if greenhouse grown, is worthwhile. They make the perfect companion flower as they deter whiteflies. They can be tricky when grown outside, because we aren't the only ones that love them. The slugs do too, Jean said, speaking from experience. Being on the allotment gives me such a feeling of well-being. It gives me a great sense of achievement, and at this time of year especially, I can't wait to get out of bed and get down there. It's food for the soul, and I really would advise anyone to give it a go. The difference it makes to mind, spirit and body is really something. So, how does your garden grow? The holiday season approaches. The rate of growth of all the plants in the garden is increasing. The squashes, melons and pumpkins have grown well, as have the tomatoes in growing bags and the chilies in large pots. All need regular feeding using a high potash tomato fertiliser. It is important to use the correct dilution, preferably in rainwater, applied to the compost or soil around each plant, without splashing the foliage. The first early and second early potatoes have all grown well in large pots, topped up with acquired loam, and some have been harvested with great results. Early sown sweet peas are flowering well. Picking the flowers daily inhibits seed pod production and encourages more flowers. they too need watering and feeding regularly. Remember the mantra, feed on Friday. Last month, we mulched round the strawberry plants with straw, and they have rewarded us handsomely. The collection of large terracotta pots in which we had a wonderful display of spring tulips have been emptied and the bulbs dried and stored. They are refilled with container compost and planted with bedding plants, including impatiens, pansies, lobelia, bacopa, petunias and pelargoniums, amongst others. The compost heap, piled within three pallets set at right angles, has been dug out. The coarse material on top, which has not rotted down, has been heaped on top of the logs of a hedgehog's den. The rest of the decomposed material was used to mulch the decorative shrubs around the sitting area. We all need a rest.
TNF Soundings.
Up now we have to hear what the weather has in store for us. Brought to us, come rain or shine, by our own Sunny Mina.
Hi everyone, Mina here. Hope you're all keeping well. The football and tennis at Wimbledon may be in full swing, but unfortunately, it still looks like summer is yet to get started, as it's yet another spell of unsettled weather that looks set to dominate the week ahead, with plenty of rainfall forecast. Temperatures should remain just about where they are at the moment. So I guess that's something to be holding on to. In result, UV levels are to remain at medium. The sunrise and sunset times are 5:05 a.m. for the sunrise and 9:25 p.m. for the sunset. Friday 12th of July is looking wet and little gloomy, but this should fizzle out as things are forecast to brighten up by the late afternoon and early evening. With the gentle breeze coming down from the north, temperatures may feel a little chilly at 10 degrees as we start the day. But as the rain clears, we should see highs of around 17 degrees around the region. Moving on to the weekend, and although it's not forecast to be a glorious festival of summer sun, it's not looking too bad. We should see initial dry and sunny start to both Saturday 13th of July and Sunday 14th of July. But with a breeze coming in more from the west, there is a chance that it will bring some drizzle into the region during the afternoon. With temperatures reaching 20 degrees, if you are attending any Black Country Day celebrations and sporting events over the weekend, you should just about get away with leaving your brolly at home. Unfortunately, we can't say the same about next week, as from Monday 15th of July right through to Thursday 18th of July, we've got an unsettled spell of persistent light rain showers with some sunny intervals breaking through. The breeze will remain, but may start to drift up from the southwest. So despite the light rain and drizzle, temperatures may just pick up at touch and hit 20 degrees, even 21 if we're lucky. With Thursday looking like it may provide us with the drier day and leaving us with a ray of hope that those summer days may just be around the corner. Tune in next week to find out more. Do take care, have a wonderful week, and enjoy the weather.
Now we have the quiz
answers
for this edition. Take it away, Roger.
TNF Soundings. Features from across the UK.
Roger Brooks back again with the answers to our animals questions. Number one, a group of giraffes is known as a tower. I wonder why. Question 2. A baby koala bear is known as a joey. Joey. Question 3. Yogi Bear's friend was Boo Boo. Boo Boo. Question 4. Bill Sykes' dog in Oliver Twist was called Bullseye. Bullseye. Question 5. The Duke of Wellington's horse was called Copenhagen or Copenhagen in honour of one of his early military victories. Question 6. Roy Rogers' horse was called Trigger. Yes, I bet you got that one. Trigger. Question 7. The Lone Ranger's horse, Hi-Ho Silver. Yes, Silver. Dutch, Irish and Clydesdales are all what? Yes, they're shire horses. Cart horses, as we used to call them in South Yorkshire. We weren't posh enough. Question 9. How many of them did you get? I'm not going to sing the song where they list them. Dasher, Dancer, Donner, Blitzen, Comet, Cupid, Prancer, Vixen, and of course the most famous reindeer of all, Rudolph. So the ones who cast him out and then welcomed him back once Father Christmas had opted to use him. Yeah, it's just like that in life, isn't it? They're Donner, Dasher, Dancer, Blitzen, Comet, Cupid, Prancer, and Vixen. Finally, the cartoon character created by Mary Turtle in 1920 was Rupert. Rupert the Bear.
TNS Soundings.
So that's it for another edition of the Black Country Talking News. A reminder to our CD listeners who have received CDs in padded envelopes that you don't need to send anything back to us. If you have a sight loss tip or someone you would like to wish a happy birthday to, just say hello to. Maybe even a poem or talking book you would like reviewed, then please get in touch with us at the Beacon Centre. Call 01902 880111. Email bctn@beaconvision.org or write to us at the Black Country Talking News, Beacon, Wolverhampton Road East, Wolverhampton, WV4 6AZ. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all our supporters, donators and volunteers who without their support we would be unable to run this free service. Please note the information and views expressed in this recording does not necessarily represent the views of Beacon or Talking News and were accurate at the time of recording. Mentions of goods and services does not imply endorsement, and whilst every care is taken to supply accurate information, Beacon and Talking News do not undertake liability for any errors. So it's goodbye from all of us, stay safe, have a good week, and we look forward to bringing you next week's edition of the Black Country Talking News. Ta-ra!